Is Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. And we'll read that and continue on where we left off last week and just giving you some ways that we're going to endeavor to reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we may not be able to reach it all, but we can still do our part. Mark 16:15. And we'll read down verses 9 through 15 and give you the understanding that's there. Of course, this is the Resurrection Sunday. Jesus has resurrected and appeared to several of his disciples there in verses 1 through 8. And now he appears to the 11 that are left in verse number 9. I want you to join with me, Mark 16 and verse number 9. And here we go. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. By God's grace, this year our challenge and our theme is that we all will make an earnest effort to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to preach to all we can, reach all we can. And each one of us, we pray, is going to do all that he can. So I want you to say those three phrases with me. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, each do all you can. Let's say it one more time. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, each do all you can. That is God's desire for his disciples. And if you're born again, if you're saved, then you're a disciple of Christ. And you should be getting involved in preaching the word of God and trying to reach someone else the same way you were reached, and then doing everything in your power to get someone else saved just like you are. In our text here, the crucifixion and the death has taken place already. The burial has taken place. The resurrection has taken place. And Jesus, about to depart from them, leave the disciples with this charge and this challenge: go and reach people. And that's our job this year. That's always been our job. We're going to make a more concentrated focus on it this year, to preach, to reach, and each one of us do all that we can. Father, now bless in these next moments as we revisit what we talked about last week in regards to reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection that saves people when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts, work in our midst today, Lord, that we may sense your moving in our lives. And Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that that man, that woman, that boy or girl would be anchored, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and knowing for sure that heaven is their eternal destination, having been freed from sin, having been forgiven of sin because they repented of sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you said so clearly in your word, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Open up eyes today. Take the veil off of hearts today. And Lord, I pray that everything that is said this morning would be centered around pleasing you, Lord, that you would receive the praise, the honor, and the glory, and that some lost soul would know how much you love them today, and they might be gloriously born again. Many are the needs today. Many are the needs next door in the children's program area. Lord, we're asking you to meet that need. Help us to focus on purpose on the word of God today. Lord, take away and remove any distractions that would hinder us today. Satan is busy. His demons are busy. Lord, I pray that you would allow yourself to be preeminent through it all, knowing that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now meet our need today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Ms. Dawson has our special.
Has taken my pain, turned it into joy, who has straightened my path, who has taken my sorrow and remade my tomorrow, who has erased my past.
Where we picked up last week. Brother, we can get that first set of lights turned off here. I would appreciate that. All right. And if we could bring that up. Awesome, awesome. That is good. Can everybody see that okay? How many of y'all feel like you're being looked at? It's actually a set of, supposed to be a set of eyes with a globe in the middle. And the world is looking at you. The world's eyes are on you. You say, preacher, why would the world's eyes be on you? Because you have the medicine that they need. The world is sick with something called sin, and you and I have the cure. You say, preacher, what is that cure? Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the cure for what the world needs. And so the world's eyes are on you and they're on me. How many of you, just by reason, just raise your hand, before you got saved, you looked at Christians and kind of judged them in a certain way? I mean, y'all were like that. And I did the same thing. I expected certain things out of Christians. If people said they were Christians, if they said they were saved, if they said that they knew God or anything like that, I looked at them to see what their life was like. I kind of watched them, you know, because I was trying to wonder, do I want to be one of those Christian folk? Do I really want to be like them? And, you know, truth be known, people are watching us. And whether you're aware of it or not, they're watching you. Young people, whether you're aware of it or not, they're watching you. You say, us, we're just kids. They're watching you still. Amen. Other kids are watching you. Amen. Hey, when I was in grade school, I watched other kids that said they went to church and they were religious and things like that. Now, I went to church on Sunday, but I didn't call myself religious, really. I just called myself, you know, going to church because that was what I was supposed to do. But if you really say that you mean business with God, people are watching you. And so the eyes, the world are on you. We talked about our theme this year and what we're going to try to do. And the disciples there, notice down there in verse number 15 again, it says, he said unto them, who's the them, the 11, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Jesus Christ gave them a huge command. They were commanded to carry the gospel to all peoples, in all nations, everywhere. You say, preacher, that's a big task for mankind, not for the Holy Spirit of God. And God never intended us to do that. And so our goal today is to just get ourselves acclimated to what God has told us to do, and then put more of an emphasis on how we can do that in some more creative ways with me. Say this these phrases again with me. Preach to all you can, or reach all you can. Each do all you can. And we looked at last week, this is our topic for this year. We're going to preach to all you can. And that was one of the first things that we looked at when you talk about preach, reach, and each, according to Matthew 16:15, is to basically preach to all you can. And you say, preacher, preach. What does it mean to preach? Am I supposed to get out there and jump up and down on a pulpit like you do and spit, spin, and sputter, rant, and rave? No. Now, if you do that, you might not get a warm reception. But the word preach just means to proclaim, to herald, to announce, to tell forth. Now, you can do it passionately. You can do it passively. Paul said, you know, I don't care how Christ is preached, long as he is preached.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
That would behoove us to preach Christ passionately. Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all are married? How many of y'all got kids? Have you ever seen people that talk about their spouse in a positive way, or talk about their children in a positive way, how passionately they speak of their children? They'll show you the pictures, and this is little Johnny when he was in baseball, and this is Susie over here at her third birthday, and look at this, when they first started to crawl, and this is my wife and I, and we got married, you know, 40 years ago or 20 years ago, and they're still so sweet. That's passionately. Now, if I came to show you my wife and said, this is us when we got married, this is us 20 years ago, this is us 30 years ago, these are my kids, this is them playing baseball, this is them jumping rope, you wouldn't get excited about it, would you? Why? Because I'm not excited about it. But you know what? When we're passionate about Christ and we're preaching Christ, others will get passionate about that. I don't know about you, but Rod Branch, the guy that led me to the Lord, and he didn't actually lead me to the Lord, but he got me to the church. When he talked about God, he talked about God as if God was right there. And it was almost like, I'm going to turn around and look and see God standing right next to him, because he made God that real to me. By the way, he is.
He is.
Now, whether you think he's next to you or not is beside the point.
He's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. So he is right next to you whether you see him or not. His Holy Spirit's presence is there whether you see him or not. And so the fact of the matter remains is that he is there. And so we need to passionately let them know. And so as we're preaching to all that we can, we're going to give them a proclamation or a telling forth or a heralding or an announcing. But what are we going to preach is the question. What are we going to preach? Amen. Well, I'm glad you asked it. We're not going to preach that. We're going to preach this. Amen. We're going to preach God's message. What is God's message? The gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friend, I don't know if you understand this, but that's still how people get saved. Amen. They get saved by hearing the gospel. So, preacher, what is the gospel? The good news. What is the good news? That God loves us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to be told that I'm loved. Amen. For God so what?
Loved
the world that he gave. It didn't say for God so hated the world. It didn't say for God so felt sorry for the world. It didn't say for God knew his wrath was coming out on the world. It says for God so loved the world. It was love that motivated and necessitated the gospel. The Bible says God is love. And so, my friend, people are still saved by the message of the gospel. What is that? The good news that God loves them. And my friend, as you and I go out in the communities, as we go to our workplaces, as we go to school, people need to hear that God loves them. Now, does he still hate sin? He still hates sin.
Yes, sir, he does. He does.
But he loves them. And that's why he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And folks, that's the message. And so as we go preaching to all we can, we're going to go preaching God's message, which is the gospel, the good news. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And my friend, when we go and talk to people about that message, that is the message that we want to send. God's message is the gospel. But then we ought to preach God's message to God's multitude. He says in verse number 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, he's not talking about dogs and cats and animals. He's talking about people, mankind. By the way, God didn't die for animals. He died for man. Amen. He died for mankind. And so we're talking about every creature. We're not talking about the animals. We're talking about God's creation, man. God made man in his own image. We are the only creation made in his image. The Bible didn't even say the angels were made in his image, although it resembles a man. Guess what? That's special. God loves us that much. He made us special. A little lower than the angels, the Bible says, but it says God made us in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so when we talk about God's message, the gospel, and God's multitude, all the world and every creature, all the world, every creature means that all people are targets for salvation. And you say, preacher, why is every creature, why is every creation, why is it so important to get the gospel to them? Because they're in danger. Now today, you and I stand here saved because somebody told us we're in danger.
Amen.
That's why we're here. And so God's message goes to God's multitude in all the world, and it's involving every creature, and it's letting them know that they need to be saved. So our goal is to preach to all we can. But then how are we going to go to all the world and every creature? By reaching all we can. We need to reach all that we can with the gospel. We talked about that last week. Reaching people is how we reach the world with the gospel, and people must be reached. I was reached, you were reached, everyone here today was reached by someone. By the way, if you have good news, it's not meant to be kept to yourself. Brother Joe mentioned the Powerball. When somebody does win that Powerball, guess what? It's going to be paced all on television. Now, if you win the Powerball, it's going to be paced all on the television. And if you don't tithe, I'm telling the treasurer to call you up. You won that Powerball, you better tithe, amen. Give some of that money to God.
Amen.
Now, you shouldn't be gambling in the first place, amen. But if you could at least be an honest gambler and tithe, amen. Good news is meant to be shared everywhere. And we're going to not just preach to all we can, we're going to reach all that we can. And you say, preacher, why are we going to reach all that we can? Because reaching is still God's method. Notice what it says down there in verse number 15 again. And he said unto them, what's that word? G-O? Go. How many of y'all know how to go? We go to the store, we go to work, we go to the bathroom, we go to the kitchen, we go to the supermarket, we go, you know, everything about that does not deal with this. Standing stationary. Go has the idea of proceeding. Can you imagine saying, I'm going to the supermarket and you stay right there? Can you imagine saying, I'm going to my job and I'm going to stay right there? You got to get out of bed. You got to go. And so everything about what God is saying here about us preaching to all we can and reaching all we can involves going. We can't reach all the world and every creature by sitting. In Mark 16:15, he said, go, it means to proceed, move, or get busy. In order to reach all the world and every creature, we must go. We talked about that last week. Now, as we go, by the way, how many of y'all go somewhere throughout the week? We all go somewhere. How many of y'all go to more than one place throughout the week? We all go to more than one. We go to a grocery store.
Yeah, we do.
We go over our friend's house. Mm-hmm. Some of us go to school. Some of us go to work.
Yeah.
Some of us go out in the community. Some of us just go sit on our porch, but we go somewhere. And so what we want to major on this year is as we're preaching to all we can, according to what God said in Mark 16:15, and as we're reaching all we can, we want to take advantage of several opportunities that God is going to give us as a church in order to reach all we can. One of the first ways we can go is by daily soul winning opportunities. What does that mean, preacher? It means that when you go anywhere, have in your possession or in your pocketbook a gospel tract or business card and tell someone about Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, if you have nothing else, give them a card. You say, here, I'd like to give you an invitation to our church, Shining Light Baptist Church. And on the back of that tells you how you can get to heaven. And if they give you the opportunity, you can stop and say, by the way, do you know if you're going to heaven or not? And they may say, I don't know. And you may only have a few seconds. You say, well, if you just flip that card over, it'll tell you exactly how to get there. And if you have any questions, my pastor's phone number is at the bottom. Why don't you email my pastor and talk to him about it? And guess what? You have just preached and began to reach by daily soul winning opportunities. Why? Every last one of us is going to talk to somebody throughout the course of the week. Every last one. And you can take advantage of those opportunities, amen, by going abroad as we go from daily activities, handing out tracts, inviting people. There's another way we can go as well, by weekly soul winning opportunities. You say, preacher, I'm off on Saturdays, amen. We meet up here at 9:30 in the morning. And we go and knock on people's door. We give them invitations to the church. And we go and talk to them and say, hey, you know what? We've got a church named Shining Light Baptist Church down the road there. And we'd love to have you come out and visit us. Amen. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you. They say, well, you know, I go to so-and-so church. We say, you know, that is great. I'm glad that you're involved in spiritual things. But let me ask you the most important question. Matters not what church you go to, but are you sure you're going to heaven? I'm not asking you, are you a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or an Anglican or a Methodist? I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And folks, we do that on a weekly basis. We go weekly, and there's soul winning opportunities for you to share that. You say, well, I'm afraid of that, like Miss Carlene said, amen. I don't have all the faculties that I used to have. That's okay. There are many, many more opportunities to get involved in, amen. And as we go out, amen, Miss Carlene brought a young man in to meet this morning. She said, you know what, you're my bus driver, and I want you to meet my pastor. And here's some literature about our church. What is that? Witnessing opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Weekly opportunity. She's on that van train. She's got different riders on there with her. She's got different bus drivers on there all the time. Guess what? They get a gospel track. And get a gospel track. My wife and I go to the base all the time because we're retired military. And guess what? We go through the gate guards. Can I share this with you? Now, not everybody says yes. Some say no. You know what I say? I say for the next person. What is that? That is a daily or a weekly opportunity. See, as Jesus said, preach to all you can and reach all you can. These are weekly opportunities that we have that we can take advantage of to make sure that we're being obedient to what he told the disciples years ago. By the way, because the 11 disciples were obedient, you and I have the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. You say that again. Because the 11 disciples were obedient, we have the gospel. By some of the members of Shining Light Baptist Church being obedient, some people sitting under this room right now have been saved.
Amen.
Amen. You've been saved at Shining Light Baptist Church. Raise your hand.
Amen.
Look at that. About 50% of the people. You know why? Because somebody was obedient. Somebody said, hey, I need to preach to all I can. I need to reach all I can. Why? Somebody reached me. God loved me. And I want to share that with somebody else because I know there's a God in heaven that will save them. But there's also a real hell that they'll go to. And I don't want them to go there. What I'm talking about? Opportunities. Now, you don't always have opportunities. But you know what? This year, we're going to try to afford you as many opportunities as we can to get to as many people as you can. And so we've got daily opportunities. Excuse me. We've got weekly opportunities. Then we've got something else here. Weekly prayer meeting opportunities. You know what? We get here and we pray for our missionaries. Lord, we want our missionaries not just to have our financial support. We want them to have our prayer support. They can go out and share the gospel with those people in China, with those people over in Africa, with those people over in Cambodia. Hey, with those people over there in the areas where we can't go. There's an opportunity for you to say, you know what? I can't go out and knock on a door, but I can pray.
Yes, sir.
Hey, every last one of us can pray.
Yes, sir, Pastor, we can.
Every last one of us can pray. And so there's an opportunity weekly at the prayer meeting. You know what? Something else that we can do at the prayer meetings, we can pray for our children's church workers. They're right next door right now.
Right.
Why? So that people can hear the gospel here.
Amen.
And so as we're trying to say, Lord, we want to preach to all we can and reach all we can. And we're going to pray for our missionaries that they can share the gospel. We're going to pray for our children's church workers that they will free the parents up so they can hear the gospel unaffected by having the child ask a bunch of questions. But also there's another way we can pray. We've got nursery workers across the hallway handling children that would be in here. Now y'all listen to me for a minute. If you have ever been in a church where all the children are at, I'm talking from the cry whiners until the what did pastor sayers, until the ones that's trying to copy everything you write and say how you spell that. You're not gonna get a whole lot. You know, I talk to my wife all the time. She's like, you know, I had to spell this for them. I had to spell that for them. I had to spell this for them. And man, now what'd you say about that point over there? So many of y'all don't have the luxury to come home and ask me questions, amen. And so we should praise God for the nursery folk over there and pray for them so that people can hear the gospel. And pray for the children's church workers so people can hear the gospel. And pray for the missionaries so that people can get the gospel. What am I saying? We have opportunities to preach and to reach. And there's more opportunities than we would ever imagine that God gives us the advantage on. And so not only daily soul winning opportunities and weekly opportunities, we have prayer meeting opportunities. But we've got this financial opportunities. As you look down there, first, second, third, fourth. The fourth entry says missions to date. We collect that once a week. And so the faith promise there is weekly. And so weekly financially, we have opportunities to give to missions. And I am so glad that folks have been faithful. Amen. And we are right on target.
Yes, we are.
We've not always been on target.
No, we
are right on target.
Amen.
And folks, I don't know if you're aware that we lost 25 people last year,
roughly. Yes, sir.
And guess what? We're still on target. That means that God is being faithful and you're being faithful to God.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. I came here the other day and I was just walking around, looked at that total, and I said, man, that looks large.
Yes.
And I started doing the math by weeks, and I said, we're right on target. We're right on target. Praise God. God is good. So the weekly financial opportunities and our faith promise, giving as we promised that we would do to witness to all the world. By the way, though there are places that you can't go and I can't go that God sends people to go. And that is a blessing. There's another opportunity we have as well. Special financial opportunities. Y'all remember Brother Richie down in Honduras had the special need there. And Brother Carpenter over in Cambodia had the special need there. Brother Loxin, when they had the typhoon or a typhoon? Typhoon down there in the Philippines. There was a special need. And so we have regular financial opportunities, but then special financial opportunities that the gospel can still get out. By the way, when they do a service like that in places like that, guess what? Normally the funding comes from someplace other than themselves. Why? They've been decimated. They don't have the capability. But the gospel can still go out by you and I getting involved in those opportunities. And so there's many, many ways that we can reach all the world and preach to all the world. And that's by the missionaries. And there's financial opportunities and there's prayer opportunities. But then there's special soul winning opportunities. And that's what we are going to major on today, just for the next several moments. These special days that we have coming up that we talked about last Sunday night. Neighbor Sunday is coming up next week. And that is the opportunity where you and I can talk to our neighbors. Notice what the Bible says again, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But go back up to verse 14. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their what? Unbelief and what? Hardness of heart. Don't you know that you and I have neighbors that have unbelief? Don't you know that you and I have neighbors that have some hardness of heart? Say, preacher, how did they get that unbelief? How did they get that hardness of heart? Oftentimes from religious people.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Some religious people let them down. Some religious people hurt them. Or they just can't believe there's a God in heaven that loves me. I can't believe that my way is not the right way because I'm trying to work my way into heaven. I'm trying to be baptized. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm trying to keep the golden rule. I can't believe that my way is not the right way. And guess what? Hardness of heart. There was the way, the truth, and the life, and the disciples couldn't believe that Jesus Christ was back again, even though he told them he would be. You know, there's a world out there in unbelief and hardness of heart. They live next door to us. They live across the street from us. They live down the street from us. And our job and our goal is to reach them with an opportunity. And that opportunity is called Neighbor Sunday. Why? So that we can see them saved.
Amen.
I'm glad that somebody wanted to see me saved. Somebody took enough interest in me to want to see me saved. And so one of the first opportunities we're coming up next week is the Neighbor Sunday. Then we've got Boss Coworker and Student Sunday coming up. That's another soul winning opportunity. Right now, you can begin talking to your boss. Right now, you can be talking to one of your coworkers and say, you know, we've got a day coming up. And I know you go to this church over here, or you go here, or you don't go anywhere. But you know, if you don't go to church at all this year, I want you to promise being my guest on such and such a day. And I want you as my coworker, or as my boss, or to come and be my guest. That's a special opportunity. There's another opportunity we have as well. Friends and Family Sunday. Why? We're trying to preach to all we can. We're trying to reach all we can. And so we have another opportunity. Friends and family. All of us have friends or acquaintances or people that we know. And we can invite them out for that day. Say, preacher, what if they've been here already? Matters not whether they've been here already. Invite them anyway. You know, that may be the very day that God will speak to their heart. That may be the very day they get saved. How many of y'all got saved the first day you came to church? Amen. Yeah, a couple, amen. Now, the first time I got under a independent fundamental Baptist Bible preaching church, I got saved. All before that, I was in a religious church. And so that's a friend that you can get here, or acquaintance you can get here, a family member maybe you can get here and say, you know, we've got a special day, and it's going to be a special book given out, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to get a gift card. I'd love for you to come out and be my special guest on this certain day. Another day, Pack a Pew Sunday. You say, preacher, who comes on the Pack a Pew Sunday? Anybody that didn't come before. You know, maybe they said they were coming in on Boss and Coworker Sunday. Maybe they said they were coming in on this day. You say, hey, look, I'm going to bring them on this day. And right now, through your mind, should be some people that you can think of that you can say, you know what, I can get them on Pack a Pew Sunday. Maybe I can get them on Friends and Family Sunday. You know, maybe I can get them on Neighbor Sunday. Maybe I can get them on Coworker Sunday. Maybe I can get them. Why? The Bible says, go and preach to every creature all around the world. Reach all you can. And by the way, we can't get around the world except for by our missionaries, but we can reach all that we can here in Tucson. And how's that going to happen? By opportunities. 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 Then that last phrase up there, each, do all you can. Now, this is where it gets personal. Preacher, I don't have a problem with preaching to all I can and reaching to all I can, but now you're going to put the onus back on me, each do all I can. Now I've got to make a commitment to this thing. Oh, no, 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 no. This is when you and I would need to be laborers with God and His Holy Spirit to get this task accomplished. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice what Paul says as far as emphasis is concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and notice verse number 7. Paul, as he's speaking about rewards in verse number 10 that will be received. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 7, he says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase." Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about different ministers giving out the gospel. Matter of fact, verse 5 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Notice verse 9. For we are, what's that word? Laborers together. Laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God allows you and I to be a laborer together with Him. Now think about the gravity of that. God's got angels.
Yes, He does.
God has animals that do His bidding. He doesn't need us. I mean, He's got the stars of heaven. He's got the sons of God. He's got all that. But the Bible says you and I can be laborers.
Yes, sir.
We can help God out. Wow. Say, preacher, God thinks that much of me? Yes. By the way, God has deposited something vital in us, and that's His Holy Spirit to get the job done. And so the work is really not of us. We're just the vessel that God wants to use. God provides the victory. We need to provide the vessel. Each one of us doing his part or her part will give the increase to God's kingdom. You say, preacher, who is each? God's members. When it says each do all you can, that word ye means you.
Yeah.
Go back to Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. Amazing how the English, Old English language, and how powerful it was. Mark 16, 15. When Jesus told them, "Go ye into all the world," that "ye" there basically means all of you. With the use of the word "ye," Jesus was not only speaking to the 11 disciples, but to all people of all time, from the 11 to us today. So in other words, when he says, "Go ye," he was saying, "Go you disciples and everybody else that hears me." So it's just not limited to them. It's limited to all peoples, all times, everywhere that reads this. The word "ye" is the unique word, meaning you all or everybody that hears what I'm saying. And so when he says "go ye," he meant 11, you go, and everybody else as well. A simple illustration, when he told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again." He changed the tense. "Thee" meant Nicodemus himself. "Ye" meant everybody. "Ye must be born again." He says, "Go ye." "Ye" means you, and "ye" means I.
Yes,
and so all peoples, and we go to known places, we go to unknown places, and we can give out the gospel wherever we go. Say, preacher, how can I make this happen? Plan on it. Plan on it. If you know you're going somewhere, you know what you should do? Before pray, say, "God, if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to try to make some time to give out at least one gospel tract.
Amen.
If I'm going somewhere, I'm going to try to plan to give out at least two gospel tracts. If I'm going somewhere, I'm going to try to plan to give out three gospel tracts. Lord, if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to plan on trying to give this out." Why? If I'm going to preach to all I can and reach all I can and each do all I can, it's not going to just happen by chance. I've got to make a plan for this.
That's
You know, one of the discouraging things for me is to reach in my pocket and not pull out a gospel track. I think, honey, you got a track on you? You know what happens? I didn't plan on it. Now, even if I did plan on it mentally, I forgot. And so when it comes to this idea of going and doing all that we can in each of us, we've got to plan on. None of us really have time, so we'll have to make the time. By the way, read your Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven. May I say that someone needs you today? May I say that God wants to use you today? So if someone needs you out there and God wants to use you out there, you should want to be used by God to reach someone. I still think about myself. God sent someone. God wanted to save me, and God sent someone to me who planned on making time for me. Now, did that person dealing with me have time? No, they didn't have time. No, they didn't have time. You know what they had to do? They had to make time. The guy that witnessed to me on a regular basis had to take time out of his schedule to come and meet with me. And he met with me weekly. And folks, I was unsaved. Sometimes we don't give unsaved people the time of day. I was without Jesus Christ, and he made time for me weekly. Away from his child. Away from his wife. Away from his leisurely activity. He made time for me. Amen. You know what? I ended up getting saved. Amen. I got to ask myself, are we really ready to make time for people?
That's good.
Because if each of us is going to do all that he can, then we're going to have to plan on it. We're going to have to make the time. And all of us know that we really don't have the time, so we're going to have to make the time. Someone needs you. God wants to use you just like someone used you to reach someone else before he wants you to do it again. Plan on making time, and then pray on it. We got to spend time praying. Say, God, use me. God, use me. I mean, ask yourself this simple question. Do I really want to be used? If God has given me a command to reach the world with the gospel, and if God said I can reach them, and if he says each do all you can, he said ye, that means me. Ye means me. I'm going to have to pray and spend some time saying, God, use me. God, use me. Lord, bring some soul my way. God, bring some soul my way. Spend time. Remember, by the way, how many of y'all like going fishing? I love going fishing.
Amen, Pastor.
You know, what is the one thing that most people hate about fishing? The wait.
The wait
before you catch a fish. You go out there, man, and you got to wait, and you got to wait, and you got to wait. You're thinking, man, this is just taking too long. Why can't I just go down to the fish farm and go out there where I know I'm going to get a strike just like that, amen? You know, I don't know about you, Brother Sirs, but my dad took me down to the fish farm just so that my children could catch a trout. That was one of the most boring times I ever had. Because as soon as you throw it out there, you know you're going to get a bite.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you're like, where's the challenge in this? I mean, there's no challenge in this. I mean, I could have gone and stuck my finger out, then they would have bit that, amen? I mean, they might as well just jump in the net. But you know what? When you're not at a fish farm, you're out at a real lake, it's a challenge.
Yes, sir, it is.
And you know what? You got to wait. You got to be patient.
Uh-huh.
You got to have you a nice-looking bait. I mean, I used to fish with my dad, and I told you all the story before. My dad would throw out a big, juicy-looking worm, and he'd get all kind of bites. I'd throw out some decrepit, half-dead bait that I threw out there for the last hour. It's all limp. You know, it got a bunch of holes in it. I mean, there's nothing appetizing about it at all. It ain't moving at all. I mean, I think about it. I wouldn't bite that if I was a fish. And I wonder why my dad would always get a bite. I mean, he's throwing out this luscious worm, I mean, that's squirming all around, that's fresh. And I'm throwing out this same old thing. And he's reeling in big one after big one. I've got nothing after nothing. And it dawned on me, I need to get me some more bait. May I let you know that you don't need any better bait than the gospel?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You don't need any. Why? It's still the good news. And people still need good news. And people still are sinners. And people are still going to die without the love of God. And friend, you don't need anything better than the gospel.
Amen.
And so as we're praying on it, saying, Lord, I want to spend some time praying. Lord, give me somebody that I can see saved. There's a lot of waiting and getting a Bible. Oh, when you get a good fish. When you get one of the big ones. Man, nothing like it. Nothing like it. You know, when somebody finally gets saved, somebody finally comes to the church, when somebody finally takes you up on an invitation, I want to hear about Jesus Christ. Man, it makes you feel good. When somebody gets saved. Why? I've got to plan on it. I've got to make time. I've got to pray on it. I've got to spend some time. Say, preacher, what am I going to spend time doing? Well, one, by inviting them. I can't tell you how many times Rod Branch invited my wife and I to church. But he was always on it. You know what I say? Yeah, we'll come one of these days. Yeah, we'll come there one of these days. Yeah. You know what? He didn't get tired of inviting us out. If he did, I didn't know anything about it. How many of y'all get tired and quit easy? They say no the first time. We say, oh, forget you then. Hey. Sometimes we're that way. Forget you. I ain't inviting you no more. You didn't come the first time. You out there. What if somebody did that to you? What if somebody passed you up and said, you turned me down the first time? I remember my wife, when we was dating, she turned me down my first kiss. And I thought, I can't believe you turned me down. You think I left her? I was back again. I was like, hey, maybe you should kiss me next time. And I was back again. She said, you better promise to marry me. Then you might get some kind of kissing. I kept coming back. Guess what? I got her now.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
I didn't stop fishing.
No, you did not.
Hey, if somebody turns you down, keep inviting them.
Amen.
What am I saying? Plan on it, make time, pray on it, spend time. Spend time by inviting them. Here's one that's going to really test us: investing. You know, when Brother Rod Branch was investing time in me week after week, he had no idea that I was going to get saved. He had no guarantee that I was going to get saved. He had no clue that I was even taking it in, that what he was saying. Why? I was inebriated most of the time. But something in me said, I want to hear. Something in me wanted to know more about Jesus. Why? I was already religious. I was already trying to be Catholic and be all these other things and try to be good and trying to be kind. I was still trying to read my Bible and I was still trying to pray. So I was trying to do these things. And so I had a desire for something, but I had no clue what I had a desire for. You know what he did? He invested in me.
Yes, sir.
And he spent countless hours with me. And so as we're spending time investing, maybe it's going to be some time in praying, some time in pursuing, some time in pleading, Lord, work in them. By the way, as we're inviting, put them on your sweetheart's list. Your soul winner's sweetheart's list. As you're investing, invest in some prayer. Lord, they're on my sweetheart's list. I'm trying to get them here on my soul winning list, Lord, my prospect list, Lord. I'll bring them out.
Amen.
You never know what God may do.
Amen.
Invite them to fellowships. Invite them to baby dedications. Invite them to baptisms. Invite them any way you can. Write them, text them, email them. Spend time involving them. Invite them to your Sunday school class.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? We've got a ladies' class. We've got a men's class. We've got a couples class. Why don't you come? Won't you come? What are we talking about? These are ways that we can preach to all we can. These are ways that we can reach all we can. Each do all he can. Go back to the Gospel of Luke real quick with me. The Gospel of Luke. And remember the story that we read last time. The Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And in Luke's Gospel chapter number 14. We read about all the excuses that people gave. Notice chapter 14, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes in the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know what God wants? God wants heaven filled. You know, the difference is God knows who's going to fill it. We don't. And so the servant's job was just to go to everybody. If I hit everybody, I'll come upon those that's going to fill it. Our job is just to go and preach the gospel, the good news. It's to reach everybody that we can and each do all he can, because you can reach someone that I can and vice versa. And as we do that, the ones that God would have filling the house will fill it. But if we don't do it, guess what? We can't say that we've been obedient to do what God has called us to do. What am I saying? We can plan on it, make time. We can pray on it, spend time inviting, spend time investing, spend time involving in different ministries, ladies' meetings, men's meeting. But then, lastly, we need to do that, perform it, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Each one of us reaches one person, and they get saved, and they get baptized, and we teach them to preach and reach someone else. We'll grow. But more importantly, we'll be obedient to God. And that's what it's all about. Now, with all the opportunities that we have before us and just being obedient, you know what? Only thing that we're doing is going and inviting people to something. That's all we're doing. We're inviting them to the gospel message to be saved. We're inviting them to take Jesus Christ up on his word that whosoever will. We're calling them to say, hey, look, the Bible says whosoever shall call upon him, Lord, shall be saved. Hey, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Bible says that. The Bible says, as many as believe, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even that believe on his name. The Bible says that. We're inviting them and we're calling them and we're preaching to them and we're heralding to them and we're trying to reach them, and each one of us doing all we can to let them know there's a God in heaven that loves them. Amen. And friend, if we do that, God will be glorified. And God's message will get out. We're just simply providing opportunities through the house of God to do that. We're simply providing different ways to be creative to get people to come. But nothing takes the place of each one of us doing all he can do. Nothing takes the place of you and I reaching all that we can. Nothing takes the place of preaching to all you can, because if the truth of the matter is, they're not going to come to this church any other way than if they have a relationship with you. I wouldn't have gone to that church. Didn't even know what a church was at. You know why I went to that church? Rod Branch was there. People are not going to come to this church for no other reason other than that you're here. I invited my barber out. I told you guys about that last week. And his girlfriend said, well, can we sit with you? I said, of course. Who else are you going to sit with? Right. I'm your neighbor. Amen. Now, they're not my neighbor anymore. They moved. Yes, sir. But I'm still claiming them as my neighbor. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Why? I want to see them saved. Yes, I want to see them won to Christ. You know, we can preach the word of God. It's all about reaching. Will you plan on it? Will you pray on it? And will you spend time inviting and investing and involving yourself in someone's life by performing it? I'm praying that each one of us will commit to preaching and to reaching and each doing all that you can to see someone saved this year. And don't quit. Don't give up like fishing. Put the bait out there. Amen. Hey, don't change the gospel. The gospel is the best bait there is. Yep. Don't change that. By the way, that's the only bait there is. If people don't get saved by the gospel, you're not going to get saved.
That's right.
Who is God laying on your heart even right now that you need to preach to, herald, announce, tell forth the gospel to? Who is God laying on your heart that you can reach right now? Say, God, lay that person in front of me and help me to take up the opportunities that are there to share. Let me put them on my prospect list and let me start reaching them. And then let God use you. Keep your prospect list prayed over and actively followed up on. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What will you do this year in regards to preaching all you can, reaching all you can, and each doing all you can? The opportunities are there. Let's take God up on those. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment, let God speak to your heart. We know the command. We know he told the 11 to go, and we know ye means each and every one of us. We know that we have opportunities to go on a daily basis. We know that we've got the opportunity to go to our coworkers, our neighbors, our bosses. We know we've got the opportunity to go to friends and families and just to invite them. We know we've got the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news. We know we've got these special opportunities. But we know it's going to require us planning on it, making some time. Us praying on it, spending some time. Inviting, investing, involving. It's going to require some time, us performing it. Redeeming the time. The Bible says redeeming the time, the days are evil. Men are not going to get any better, folks, without the gospel. They'll only wax worse and worse, the Bible says. Would you join me in praying for those people that you have on your heart right now? Maybe some are under the sound of my voice right now. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I would love to pray for you. But God is the only one that can save you. I can pray for you, but God, through the gospel, can save you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would be honest and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm a church member. I read my Bible. I try to do the best I can, but I really don't have that absolute guarantee that heaven is my home if I should die. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled? I'm not 100% sure that heaven is my home. I'm definitely concerned. Would you pray for me? If you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at, you raise your hand up. I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. You say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Please pray for me. I want to go there, but I'm not sure. A Christian, how about it? Would you say, preacher, there's somebody that I want to reach this year. Would you pray that I can reach that man, that woman, that boy or girl? You'd say, preacher, pray for me. You'd raise that hand. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe a family. Amen, amen. Hands going up all over the place, which they should, because we all know someone that needs to be saved. You may put them down. Now, with those hands that are going up, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you pray for that person? Would you plan on making time to deal with that person? And then would you perform it, actually go to that person and say, you know what, I'd love to see you in the house of God. I'd love to see you saved. Would you work with me and come out? Would you receive the gospel, the good news? See, it's all in our passion and our compassion. Father, you know the hands that have been raised. You see their hearts, Lord, work. Lord, this is a sobering subject, but it's a subject that we'll major on all year. Lord, the world needs us. The world is sick in sin, and someone reached us and grabbed us out of the world. Help us to reciprocate by reaching someone else just in obedience to what you've told us to do. Lord, we know that sometimes we'll be fearful of rejection. Lord, help us to be reminded that they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ. And Lord, give us the wisdom, the discernment, and the power to know who you would have us to reach. Then, Lord, help us to go and preach to all we can, reach all we can, each one of us do all that we can for the cause of Jesus Christ, not a profoundly difficult challenge, but it is one that requires the Spirit of God's power. So Lord, work in us and help us to plan for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The music will play, and maybe God spoke into your heart as we stand. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and lay that person or persons at your feet. You know, we'll get the first of these days next Sunday for Neighbor Sunday. As Mr. Dawson sings, maybe you need to come and pray for your neighbor that you want to see come down. Maybe you need to pray for that one that you knocked on their doors yesterday. Maybe it's a neighbor across the street. Maybe it's a neighbor that's moved away. Maybe it's a neighbor that's one door down. Maybe it's some neighbor that's promised to come. Would you pray for him? Would you plan on going to him and pleading with him? Would you make time and spend time, invest time in their life, redeem the time? But you remember the time that Jesus Christ spent sending someone to you? Sending a man, a woman, boy, or girl to you. Young people, how about it? Maybe there's a neighbor friend, a young boy, a young girl that you've been talking to, and they need to be saved. And you would get them the neighbor day this coming Sunday. How about it? Maybe you're under the sound of my voice today. You've never been born again. You've never been saved. And if you died, you're not sure heaven is your home. I want to help you today. The gospel of Jesus Christ, good news, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And he said, whosoever cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Are you saved today? Is heaven your home? How about it? The music is playing. The altar is open. You can pray. Pray for that man. Pray for that woman. Pray for that coworker. Pray for that neighbor. Pray for that friend. Pray for those opportunities that God would allow you to be a witness. Say, preacher, that's, I don't know if I could do that. All of us can through the power of God. All of us could. Pray on it. Plan on it. Ask God to work in your heart. Ask God to work in your life. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Everybody's a target. The world is not getting any better. It's getting a whole lot worse, though. And God is looking to use you. He's looking to use me as God's members to call people out of this world. Come home, come home. How about it? Come home, come home. Preach the gospel. The good news. We don't need anything new. We just need to give out the old. The old gospel. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for the simplicity of your message. Lord, we don't need to give out anything new. We don't need to remake the gospel. The gospel still has power, Lord. Your word is clear. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so anyone can be saved. They just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. But they must first see that they're lost. They are sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of those same sins is death, eternal separation from God in heaven. But God, you loved us, and you sent heaven's best, Jesus Christ, to die. For our sins to be buried, to be risen again the third day. And Lord, I pray that as we go forth and preach the gospel, folks would see their need for Christ. They would see that they are a sinner, but they would also see your love for them. And Lord, how you want to use us as laborers to get people saved. God, I pray for the neighbors that we talk to this week, neighbors of our community here at the church that we invite and pray that, Lord, we would get some fruit from this. Lord, if only one neighbor comes, we know that that'll be one successful neighbor coming in to hear the gospel message. Speak to our hearts as well, Lord, that we would truly plan on it, pray on it. And Lord, then make sure that we actually perform it by going out, making ourselves ready, inviting, investing, and involving our lives in the life of someone else. Make your presence known and your power real in the gospel that we might see a soul saved. Bless now in our afternoon activities and our games tonight. And give us traveling mercies. My ex-brother Hall, if you would come, dismiss us in a word of prayer. And don't forget, folks, pray for those that are not with us, that God would work in their lives and raise them back up. Brother Hall.
Let us pray. My Father, I thank you for a wonderful message. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Thank you for coming to this earth, dying for us, and being raised again the third day. I pray, Lord, that we purpose in our hearts, Lord, to be obedient to your word, but we know that obedience starts with love. I pray that we fall in love with who you are. I pray, Lord, that we fall in love with your word and we purpose in our hearts, Lord, to be obedient to it as well. Thank you for our visitors today. I pray for those that aren't here. I pray for traveling mercies for the whites. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for our afternoons. Bless us to get good rest, Lord, and bring us back. I pray for the service tonight. And thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.